Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 28 December 2022. And this, of course, will be my last live broadcast for this year. Boy, this year went by quickly. And it's been a different kind of year, I guess you could say. And I don't know if next year will be better or not. But we're getting into a program tonight I think you're going to enjoy very much. We're going to talk to a gentleman named Jun Bai, who traveled extensively, but he's lived in South Korea and North Korea. We're going to let him share some stories about what he's seen, the difference between America and North Korea. And folks, he said before the program, he's traveled a lot, but he said America is still the best one out there. And I tend to agree, in most circumstances. I mean, morally, we're losing it compared to a lot of them, but we're still probably one of the freest societies left, if you can believe that. But nonetheless, we'll get to our guest in just a few minutes. Before we do that, tomorrow is Thursday, so we'll be in the office tomorrow from 9 to 4 Eastern, as always. So take phone calls, take orders, donations, whatever, folks. We're here tomorrow to talk to you. And don't you ever feel that you can't call and talk to me. I want you to, please, be encouraged. Even during the week, days we're not in the office, if you call our toll-free number, you can talk to Lisa. Lisa will find me, and I'll call you back. If you have a question about any kind of situation, spiritual, or anything else, I will do my best to help. You can call 800-777-4403. Or, if you have long distance, you'll save us money if you'll call us on a toll line at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. And in some answer to you, good news, an answer to y'all's prayer. Remember, I asked you to pray for Crystal's Uncle Davy and her son-in-law's sister, Angel, who is autistic and got hit by a car a couple days ago. Well, she is home. She had a broken arm and some road rash, but she's okay. Thanks for your prayers. And Davy's out of the hospital. He's doing much better. And Crystal said, please thank y'all for your prayers. And I know she appreciates it, and I do too. Thank you for doing that. It means a lot to us, folks, that you're out there, and you will take time to pray with people that we bring up on the air. And I pretty appreciate it. As I mentioned last night, I'll mention a couple more times next week, and we'll shut it down. We have four of the King James Bibles. We couldn't buy any more because they ran out of the certain kind of Bibles. We got one with large print. We have four of the other ones left, though, folks. Our cost is $10. We're selling them $10 because we don't want to just lay in there and do nothing. So $10 for a King James Bible. Both the Old and New Testament. If you want, just call and say, I want the Bible. And you can use credit card, debit card, or a check. We only have four of them. So it's a first-come, first-served basis. And the same goes with our little book, Why I Am a Sabbath-Keeping Christian. We have five of those left. As of yesterday, I haven't checked today yet. I haven't talked to Lisa. $7.50 each. There's five left. Once they're gone forever. I won't get any more of them in because it's hard to find. So they're available if you want them. And, of course, we're offering our last two seminars we have in stock. We had seven altogether. We have some copies of two of them left. Broken Era, A Cry for Deliverance, and America's Zombie Nation, Mind-Controlled Slaves. Both of them we're going to let go for $5. $10 for both of them. $10 for both of them, sent out to you. With speakers that are no longer with us, like I said, Joyce Riley last night, Charlotte Isabey, Russ Dizdar. Those are enough right there to get it. Greg Evenson. I mean, these people are already going home to be with the Lord, folks. Pastor Mooney, Richard Mooneyham. And, of course, you like the one on Broken Area, I'm sure. Our MC was Frankie Valens from the 1960s pop music. A great singer, good Christian man. These both here, I'm here. A total of $10 for both of them shipped to your door while they last. And that's why they last, folks. I don't know how many got left in the box. Chris will tell you that tomorrow. But we have them if you want them. So I hope you take advantage of it and order them while you can. We want so much to bless you. And these things we put together were hard work put together. They were very well done, professionally done. We want you to enjoy them. And if you have a copy of them, get copies for your friends. They're worth it, folks. The last two of the seven we have, and we're not going to be making any more of them. Once they're gone forever. So get them while you can. Now, again, our guest tonight is Joan Bai. Spoke to him briefly today on the phone. And he shared some of his story with me, and I'm anxious for him to share his story tonight. Folks, we're going to share what we take for granted here yet in this country. But if we don't wake up, this all going to be gone. And that's all there is to it. This gentleman's traveled extensively. He knows what he's talking about. He's lived in South Korea, North Korea, and other places. Let's bring up Joan Bai. June Bai. June, are you there?
I'm here. I'm so thankful that you have interest in me and North Korea and inviting me to your program. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm excited to have you. Ever since I read your little bio and things that was sent to me, I've been wanting to have you on the program, excuse me, because I want to know what's happening. And I've never been to North or South Korea, obviously. I was in Vietnam and Thailand and Laos during the 60s and with the Vietnam War, but they went up that area. And of course, we know very little about North Korea because we never hear anything on our news other than he's trying a new bomb out or something, a new rocket out. We don't hear anything what's going on with the people, really. No truthful news. And I'd like for you to share with the folks tonight what you observed. Now, you went to North Korea. You stayed there sometimes for several weeks at a time, right?
Yes, yes. Well, I will start off saying that I am Korean-American, meaning that I was born in North Korea, and up until 13 years old.
Okay, now I'm going to ask a question.
Sure.
How long ago has that been?
I was born in 1937, so I'm 85.
Oh, you sound much younger than that.
Oh, that's what everybody says. You know, I think that coming from Gene, my father and mother they lived until, early 90s, and they're very healthy. And, I keep saying to my friends that I got inherited health from my father.
Yes.
And then inherited their, Christian love from my mother.
That is fantastic.
Anyway.
But tell me, what was life like there? And this has been years ago. This is before the current ruler now, obviously. But what was life like for a young child in North Korea in the 1930s and 40s?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Yes, yes. I think, I'd like to speak about that. Set the stage. So when I was growing up until, say, 8 years old, that's 1945, the Second World War ended, and I was in North Korea at the time. So at the very northern, I think this is related to what I'm going to say, so very northern tip of North Korea is where my hometown is. It's really border with China and Russia. So end of the Second World War, and we all remember that General MacArthur and Eighth Army and, liberated the entire peninsula. But Russia has some influence, but they didn't even shot one bullet. and they just walk right on the tip of the North Pole. And then I believe you know, many of us remember the Yalta conference with the Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin, and they decided, it's not that they decided, but it's determined that it's best interest for Korea to split the country in half. So that's where 38th parallel come in.
Yes.
To set the stage a little bit so that, you know, your audience can appreciate what we're talking about. So once that 38th happens, the North became a communist country. And, you know, more Russian influence at the time than China. China was, you know, Mao Zedong, and they were just, you know, baby Russians at the time. So anyway, in the South Korea with the, you know, so in my book I said, you know, 38,000 American children, sons and girls, and daughters were died in Korea, but none of the Russians died. But anyway, we have this 30th parallel, and that is, you know, ceasefire and armistice, and then even today, two countries divided. So that North Korea is really, I would say it's more of a Lenin or before Stalin. It's not, maybe a little bit of Marx and Engels, you know, communist. So they had their own, for years, almost like thousands of years, the Korea always been under the threat of Mongols and China, and recently Japanese. Japanese occupied Korea for 36 years. Terrible, terrible things they did. So because of that, the North Korean says, we want to be independent. We want to be self, you know, reliant, and they call it Juche, but, and then they want to, you know, defend their own country. I think that was the beginning of the atomic bomb that they created. So that little story of that and why we don't know much about North Koreans is because those Kim, three generations of Kim, Kim Il-sung is the founder and the father, and then Kim Jong-il is the person who died. Again, now the youngest of grandson, Kim Jong-un, is controlling. So they, no question, we know that they have atomic bomb. They say something like 20 or something. And much the bigger powerful than the ones dropped in Japan, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So anyway, and they have missiles. We see all of that in CNN and, you know, MSNBCs and all the program. But what we don't know is, what's happening to the people? There are 23 million people. So the people, because of the regime, the government, communist regime, because they, once they open the border, then they have this, what they call catalysts, like South Korea, you know, Japan. So they will lose the grip of controlling the country. So they are very isolated to keep them, you know, people to be appreciative of their leaders, and they should just live happily, and, you know, all of that. So the bad things is they don't have freedom. Bad things is that they don't know what's happening in other countries. Like, they don't even know who won the soccer game, so, you know, or who won the Super Bowl, or who is the most beautiful woman in the world. They don't know anything about that. That's bad. Well, the good thing is, because they don't know, they found their own ways to pursue happiness. So they, you know, protect themselves. People would say there are 23 million spies in North Korea because they all watch out each other. So that's a very isolated, very grown up under the propaganda. I think we saw the movie like The Manchurian Candidate and things like that. It's a very strange. So the foreigners who were allowed to come to North Korea are the very minor tourists, maybe less than like 2,000-3,000 people a year. You know, it's a country. And they only have one, today they have China Airlines coming in, but it's all North Korean fleet, and they only have three ways of coming into the country. So there's only one airport, per se, international landing. So they're very isolated. So I had grown up when I came to America as an exchange student. There was a senator whose name is Fulbright in Arkansas, and he passed a bill for international exchange student program. Uh-huh. And people claim that that's one of the best, bills that Congress passed. And it's good because it helped, all the other countries, the students to come to America and study and pay the tuitions in some cases and, living expenses. And a lot of them went back to the country, and many of them stayed in America, too. So I was one of the beneficiaries. So I came to University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri. And, when I landed, it was 1959. That's after the war. But I do remember my neighbors talking about care boxes that they sent to North Korea during the war and, how much they help poor people, the victim of the war in South Korea. So I've seen that, and I grew up in the warmth or embrace of the people in a town like Maryville, Columbia, Missouri, state of Missouri. So I become, truly a good American, and I was able to be in a learned trade and work for the Exxons and, Norchem, Northern Natural Gas Company and all that, and became successful. But I heard one day in 1997 in a local radio that over 100,000 children died of starvation in North Korea. So until then, I wasn't really paying attention to North Korea because I was just busy finishing school, playing the job, ahead of the, opportunities and the, advancement in our career. But I could not shake that off, the news. And I was married and I had two children, two kids. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to my wife. I may have to go there and to see what I can do. So there's a lot of stories how I got there and there, but we'll skip that. And I went to North Korea and then I met. So I went there to three purposes. One, whether or not the news I heard is true. And secondly, whether or not North Korean government would allow me to do any humanitarian work there. And then lastly, whether or not I want to help, So when I came home, all three was yes. So, and there's a lot of things happened, but I was able to go and met not the capital city in a farm far away from my home country place I was born. And I met these students dying of starvation. One or two kids die every night in orphanages. And the reasons being, obviously, they don't have enough to eat, but what they ate was all the, grains, and there wasn't any milk for the infant babies. So they die of starvation, diarrhea, and then, of course, the water quality is so bad, and, they don't have a purification system. They had, but it was broken down because of the war and what have not. So the children are just pure victims. They just die, every night, one or two kids. Those are the places when I went there was 800 orphanage kids from age one month to 4 years old. And, there's a lot of toilets. And they just sitting on the little toilet, because of diarrhea. And in the wintertime, because they could not dig to the ground, so they put the dead babies behind the barns, like hundreds of them. And when the spring comes and snow melts and ice melts, they bury them. Those what I saw. So I just could not. So I came back home and I put my all resources and my savings and my company doing very well. So I start sending the food stuff and clothing, and toward the end of the third or fourth year, the kids were beginning to running around, so I even bought the soccer balls and haircut clippers and, you know, washing machines and you know, obviously shots and all of that. It's a basic things. So right. I saw them growing up and, you know, healthy, and as I was doing that, and I knew it's just, you know, a water just dropping on the ground, like they eat and come back, the hunger comes back again and again. And so I just, maybe I could help them to improve their farm production. Maybe they can have more tonnage, the tons of their rice and the corn per hectare. Where when I went there, they had, you know, like 300, 400 kilograms. I don't relate to the pounds, very small. And third and fourth year, they were making like a 4 or 5 metric tons. Huge wow. improvement. Not just 10 times fold, hundreds fold. So, you know, I it's not intimidation. I didn't have enough resources to do that. But, you know, the area was about, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 people in my home country. So I pretty much succeeded in agricultural revolutions. So if you ask me, what did you do? I went to China and met with the experts, and I found out the earth are different where they are. So we have to find the right fertilizer. And then we have to find strong seed. And then we have to find, you know, water reservoir, some water to put this rice. And very important is agricultural film. Like, you know, for non-rice products like corns and all that, it's a mulch film, and the rice is agricultural film. It's polyethylene sheets.
Well, June, I'll ask you a question. When you were there working in these countries, excuse me, how were you received by the Chinese and everybody? How did they treat you?
Oh, you know, Chinese, they don't know. I mean, my work is not related to China at all. And Chinese were now presence very minimal. I think even today, there are not too many Chinese in North Korea.
Okay, so the people in North Korea, the leaders, did they receive you well and try to help?
Yeah. I think that's the point I have to address. That town where I was born is the town where the great leaders wife, so today's leader's grandmother, or Kim Jong-il's second son's mother, that's a birthplace. And they are so far away from capital city Pyongyang, they really pay attention to that because traffic is, you know, road condition is bad and they don't have enough airplane to, you know, helicopter. So it was kind of left alone. So for them, somebody they call their own. But somebody, a native, the son, came to the United States and come back helping unconditionally without being a part of any, you know, humanitarian organization or United right. Nations or, you know, like a Mercy Corporations and or Red Cross and all that. So they were very impressed of me. They really appreciated me as a person. And then they saw that I had no intent in, you know, spread any, you know, virtual capitalism, anything like that. No political, not, you know, anything like that. Just purely love that they felt from me and I felt from them. So it's a beautiful marriage. Like, you know, I hug them, I cry, and they cry when I leave town, and, you know, they call me grandpa, comrade, grandpa. You know, they call everybody comrade. So we build a very humane relationship. And the thing that maybe some of your folks do not know, they do not believe in religions, not just Christianity, any religions. It's forbidden. It's communist country. And even
just 1 second. They don't allow any religion, no matter Hindu or Christian or Muslim. Nothing's allowed.
No, nothing.
Uh huh.
No Buddhism and no Hindu. I mean, Buddhism is their national religion, thousand years, they believe in Buddhism.
Right.
That's a big part. I mean, 70-80% of people believe in Buddhism, and like Christian in America today. But even Buddhists are not loved. I think if I just make a point of it, the reason is they want the people worship their leaders like a god, per se, you know. So if you believe our leaders to be your true leader or like a god, why do you believe in Muhammad or Jesus Christ? You know, that kind of reason.
So you're saying that the people in North Korea, they actually worship Kim Jong-un? I mean, they actually think he's a god?
Well, they believe that anything good happening, like, you know, rations they get for living, and they all think that it's the great leader provided them. But they don't believe him to be miracle workers, makers, or, you know, they don't believe in eternal life with a Kim or no Kim. I mean, so they just don't believe in, I guess that's best to illustrate this, they don't believe in eternal life. And that's one thing that we believe in, you know, Christ.
Yeah, of course, in Christ, absolutely. So I don't want to get ahead of you here. We're going to go to break here in about a minute or so. But what, as a child there growing up, how were you treated in schools? How are schools run?
You know, it's more stronger today than when I was born. But when I was born was actually when I was 7 or 8 years, the communist was really, you know, existed. Before then, it's, you know, Japanese, before 1945, so we're still in Japan. But it is like, I hate to say brainwashed, but it's a very strong propaganda. Meaning, when the baby is born, they wake up with a music of great leaders, of Communist Party music. Like, even entire capital city, Pyongyang, 6 o'clock, they have a music. Everybody wake up on that music. I mean, not everybody. That's kind of, you know, tell you that this is time to wake up.
And wow.
I'm just saying that as a part of, in some ways, of brainwashing it.
Yes, 24/7. It sounds like from the womb to the tomb, 24/7.
Around the clock, 24/7, 365 days. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Hang on through the break, please, June. We got to go to break now, folks. Back at the break, we're going to talk to June Bai some more. If you want to call and talk to him, you can at 844-769-2944. You're hearing firsthand. By living in a strongly communist country. A lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Many experts and prophets say the great food shortage is coming in a few months. Most long-term food storage companies charge $9,000 to $10,000 for one person for 1 year. Joseph Kitchen does it not for half that price or a third that price, but go to Joseph Kitchen and get long-term emergency food for about $1,000 per person per year. We'll show you how to take the wheat, like in the days of Joseph the Pharaoh, grind it in 30 seconds, put it into a bread machine, push a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice, hot, nutritious loaf of whole wheat bread. It'll cut your food costs, and many say it's very delicious and nutritious. There is not one food a human can live on, but whole wheat bread may be the closest. If you go to Joseph's Kitchen, use the promo code Butch, you'll get a $50 discount, and it helps call to decision. That's Joseph's Kitchen, promo code Butch, for a $50 discount on what might be the cheapest and maybe the best thing to eat. JosephKitchen.com, promo code Butch.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Alrighty, folks, we are back. Gimmer talking to June Bai, a gentleman who was born in North Korea, has traveled back there many times. He's traveled the world quite a bit, actually. And we're learning some things that I didn't know. I wanted to know about what life was like in North Korea as a child. I want to ask more questions about what's like when he's an adult. But the man is, as you can tell, is sincerely a warm-hearted individual that wants to help people that are in distress. And obviously, as he told already, people in North Korea were in dire distress. I'm sure most of them probably still are in a lot of ways. But I was talking during the break to him, asking some questions. So we're going back into the question and answer. And again, if you have a question or comment, 844-769-2944. And as we're talking during the break there, June, I got a question I want to ask. Are the people in North Korea aware of their slavery? Or have they become accustomed to it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, there's the old saying, what you don't see, we don't know. Like, for them,
right.
for them, but simply put it, for them, they don't have any neighbors driving BMW, so Mercedes-Benz. So no one can say to husband, honey, how come they drive BMW and we don't? There's nothing like that because nobody drives BMW. And the other thing is, I made a movie over there too, but while I'm making, you know, a lot of people, like I had, you know, film festivals in New York City and Chicago and San Francisco and Honolulu, all of the places. But after the film festival, we have a answer question and answer session. A lot of time they ask me, how much it costs you to make movies, you know? And so I answered that, but I said, here, the movies made the budget of 10-20% goes to the leading actors, Tom Cruise or I don't know, whoever. But over there, there is no such a thing because nobody get paid to do anything over there. Okay, that's a strange statement there. The reason
explain that. What do you mean they don't get paid? How do they pay the bills? How do they live?
Okay. They get paid a small amount, like a salary, and most of them maybe just enough to buy the cigarettes. They do not even smoke cigarettes, by the way. But the how they live is they live by the rations that government give them, rice, cabbages, and whatever. So whether you are the party leader or movie director or the guy sweep the floor at the studio, they all make the same money.
So there are doctors and ditch diggers, all of them make the same amount of money?
Some make a little more than the others. For example, a family of four, and men works at the coal mining or heavy machine. It requires lifting a lot of things. They get a few more grams for rice or you know, flowers, whatever they distribute, they give away. And if the family is by the age, you have two sons, 10 and 8, then there's 8 years, has how many grams necessary to sustain. So they give money, and when the leader's birthday or Communist Party day or, you know, some special day, they give some, you know, soju, which is the rice wine, and some, you know, boxes, cigarettes and all that. But they all pretty much live the same thing. So they don't have any cash in their pocket.
So they really pay them with food or other things to sustain them. They get just enough to live on, nothing extra.
Well, if they have a plenty, maybe they give them extra, but they don't. They have been very poor, you know, last 20, 30 years, so they don't give anything extra. So it's very basic need. So because of that, you know, I'm 5'6" and 135 pounds. But when I walk the street in Pyongyang, they all look at me as if that is a fat, you know, bourgeois, you know, capitalist, like, although they don't know where I'm from.
They look at you how again? Say that again. They look at like you how? What'd you say?
Yeah, because I have my tummy came out a little bit more than very skinny people.
Okay.
And they move around from, you know, place to place. Normally they march is a group, like 10, 20, and, you know, two or three lines, and they always march, and one of them, you know, carries a red flag or something. But you don't see any fat people. I'm not fat. And you don't see anybody, well, put it this, you only see the skinny people, put it that way.
Really?
Very skinny, yeah. Because they don't eat much, and then they don't have a comfort of car. And they have a, you know, big city, they have a train, you know, street cars. But they have to wait for hours, maybe minutes, 10, 20 minutes to get on the plane. So, and so, meaning they carry things on their head or in their back. They walk from every place, and they, the women carry on head. So I was thinking the other day, you know, we have this, you know, heavy set people go to gym and work out and turning their head left and right. But those people, they don't have to do that thing because they carry things on their head. They exercise every minute, every day.
Well, now,
have a car. So
yeah, okay. They have no transportation. They have to walk everywhere they go, basically.
That's right.
And how about are they free to travel from one town to the next, one neighborhood to the next to visit
family?
Okay,
now we're going into the common system. Some of the bad things is the freedom, and because they would not allow anybody go outside their hometown without party or people's government permit. They, if they want to have six or seven people gather together, have a, you know, night, you know, something, they have to have a permit because they don't want people gather to create a resistance. And they don't want to go town to town, so no resistance, you know, organized, not like, you know, French Revolution, underground, nothing like that. The government will not allow. So, bad thing is, hey, I want to go see my uncle and talk about, you know, how I do at colleges and then my life and all that. They have less of that. But the good thing is that they don't have time to organize anything bad, too. You know, bad meaning, I don't know, revolution is always bad or good. But, you know, like whatever we do, some of the places we do things as a group. And group created a, you know, incentive to do more courage to bad things. They don't have anything like that. So there's always good and bad. But if I say bad is they don't have freedom, they don't have a liberty, they don't know outside, and the human being should be, you know, live along with the other countries and the rest of the world in harmony and all that. They don't have that. But then other side is that because of that, they don't kill or I said maybe earlier to you, there's no murder or rape, anything like that. And they are very, very small divorce. And if somebody divorced, whole town look upon them, look them down. So it's worse than being in jail when somebody divorced, per se. So it's strange they, you know, in some ways, I mean, I'm expanding too far into this subject, but, you know, like, I'm not a student of Marx, because the Marx say communist. It's a wonderful thing. You know, we produce something and we just share and everybody equal. Wonderful. But the people who practice that all evil, the worse than, you know, capitalists, at least we have freedom to compete and bring the excellence through the competition. But over there, there's nothing like that.
You just made a statement I got to ask about. You said there's no murder or rape or anything. Now, obviously, there really is murder and rape, but are those crimes ignored?
Well, one thing you can say, well, there's a murder, the government hides it such a way that it's not known. I mean, it's apparent, you know, like that. I mean, we see some of the teledrama, something like that. But, you know, based on my observation, there isn't any murder.
Really?
If 23 million, there's maybe one in a year, perhaps. But I can almost assure you there's no murder. You know why? Because there's no reason to murder.
Okay, no
there's
reason. Murder
no
because...
Reason to...
And explain that,
no
please.
No reason to murder is they don't get anything by killing somebody. There's no reward. You know, maybe jealousy, even that, they, from the very, you know, young generation growing up, and they get married and all that, of course, but there's very room to jealousy is, it's sin, evil, and I'm not saying they don't have a evil, but those are very They're unfamiliar for them.
Really?
You know, the aggressive all of a sudden and things like that. So obviously what I'm saying is very favored to their living, but I'm not. I mean, if you ask me, would you want to live there? I would not. And, you know, for all many, many reasons. But I rather watch the Super Bowl football and rather than, you know, that. But I am a capitalist American. But when I see those things, because I have, like you said earlier, I was grown up until 13 and communist, and then I suffered through the South Korean, you know, post-war miseries as a refugee. And then I had a hard time learning the school in America. I mean, it's very hard. I think my books say that. And then it's very hard in succeeding in American business, too, industry. So after I see that, I get to learn how to judge things. When I see things, you know, so, you know, you want to succeed, you have to dig digits first. You want to succeed, you have to sacrifice yourself. You got to do other things as a priority than yourself. I'm grown up, and that is accustomed to me, that I have found maybe wisdom to judge, you know, the red and black and north and south and all of that. So I'm not saying something bad or something good. I'm just telling it like it is, you know. In the first part of my book is mostly what happens seen by the 8, 9, 10, 13 years boy. I have no incentive to say anything. I don't even know much. But I just wrote it the way I saw it. You know, like this, I don't know, some of you might have, you know, old enough to see some of the one of the movie called Shame. It's a cowboy movie, you know, Alan Ladd and all that, you know,
Bad Yeah, kid. I remember that, yes.
That movie was made by the screenplay was written based on that young boy's how he saw things, you know?
Right.
It's almost like that. In my book is you know, I didn't have a intention.
Before you forget about it, tell the folks about your book. How can they get a copy of it? I mean, and what's the name of your book, and how can folks find out about it?
Yeah, the name of the book is Promise Sister. Promises, and then you go to the .com, you know, Amazon.com.
Right.
On Noble and in bookstores and all that. And you ask for, I'd like to buy, Promise, the book by John Bai. They will tell you where to get it or how to get it.
Wow. We're running out of time so quickly here, and nobody's calling in, but I got another question to ask. So the people in North Korea then know nothing about the outside world, basically. They have no idea what's going on in the outside world, so they're kept in the dark, so to speak. And they don't they don't understand freedom because they never had it. And they're all equal financially, so there's no motivation to be greedy because you can't get anything out of it.
I just add to what you said. One is a good example. When they greet each other, they're not greeting, saying, I'm the chairman of the board of, you know, XYZ company, or I'm a doctor of, John Hopkins. So they all say, I'm Comrade Kim. So in other words, there's no predetermined title of the job precede and who you are. So that's why they all call, you heard about Comrade, right, in the Comrade movie. That's why Grandpa Kyle Comrade or Mayor Comrade or, you know, so that's what they're trying to teach. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I think it's bad. But what I think we as an American, because we're so advanced and so compassionate, so humanitarian country, that we need to learn from these people some of the virtues and the vice, and we can teach them better things. By doing it, we don't have to lose sleep over their missiles, all that. You know, when we don't know, whether Trump and Kim Jong-un go someplace, you know, Hong Kong or wherever, take hands in the behind the door, that is not good. We need to know what's going on, how the people live, how they perceive America.
Sure.
And why they love American Korean men. You know, what's in the minds of 23 million people? Same as we also need to do the same with the Somalis or Indonesia or Brazil or whatever. because we are that, we are big uncle in the world. We are the leader. That's why we don't want the bad things. We want to see the good things of the peoples, and we extend compassion and the peace and love.
Well, let me ask you one more question. Yes. June, I'll let you go in a minute, but let me ask one more question.
Sure.
Kim Jong-un obviously is producing weapons, nuclear weapons, and he's used them and he demonstrated what he can do with them. Do the people support him because he is a leader? Do they believe in what he's trying to do? What's the attitude towards him?
Well, you know, first of all, they worship him, they honor him, they trust him, they love him and all that. And they think what he does, atomic bomb, is for their defense or save their life.
Okay.
So they say to me, we have 23 million arms and, you know, forces. Our children, every old lady, everybody, if the war is, we're going to fight to death. So there's a strong that, you know, like, you know, Ho Chi Minh, some of the people there, they're all very patriotic, very, you know, loving their countries. And so it's always not to treat them, you know, but extend love. That's why I like John F. Kennedy's Peace Corps and reach out to them and understand what they live and how we can help them. How we can help them, the principle of humanitarians, and how we can teach them that God exists.
Wow.
That there
that,
is eternal.
Yes.
You know, my book and my book and my movie is telling them eternity. No one ever attempted to say that in North Korea. I did.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
well, June, I'm going to let you go in a second. But one more time, give them the name of the book and tell me they can find it.
It's a book, is Promises. You know, like I promise you something, the promises.
Right.
And the book can be found at Amazon.com is easiest. And, you know, if you're in a bookstore nearby or any place that they sell a book, you can ask for the title and Promises and the author, June By.
And by the way, June is J-O-O-N-B-A-I. June By, J-O-O-N-B-A-I.
Yeah.
June, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you so much. I hate to cut you off. Running out of time, but I want to have you on again sometime. Thank you so much.
I'll stop by and see you if I happen to be in the West Virginia.
Yeah. Well, you please do, and we'll get together and have a hamburger or something. You do that.
Yeah,
thank you.
You come to California, I'm near the San Francisco. I'll take it to crab meat or someplace.
Okay. All right. Thank you, June. God bless my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, so
folks,
nice.
I don't want to say, you heard from a guy that lived there. I mean, the people worship their leaders. We're not far from that in the United States as far as trust him to the point we no longer even speak up against him as a whole, as a nation. And we see that. It's hard to imagine a nation that's so cowed that they don't even know that they're living in poverty, don't even know they're slaves. They've been taught that all their lives. And folks, our generations and the last couple of generations have taught the same thing. That's why you see very little resistance to anything you learn, because you get the young generation as a whole has no idea. But anyway, that isn't the end of the program. Tonight is my last live broadcast for 2022. And I just want to sincerely thank everyone out there that listens to this broadcast. Whether you are able to donate or not, that's not the point right now. I just want to thank you for being there. Thank you for praying for us. This coming March will be 30 years on the radio. And I know it's a very small ministry compared to a lot of different radio broadcast folks, but ours is a ministry trying to show the truth and tell the truth according to God's word. We're working right now. We're going to start working with the Bible studies. When we do current events, we're going to start calling that a new system. We're going to do what we call CWN Network, Christian Worldview News Network. Christian Worldview News Network. We're going to start making things maybe a little different this coming year, Lord willing, and to make points a little stronger, because when I give the news, I give them from a Christian worldview. Everyone out there tells stories, tells news, whether it's on ABC, CBS, or personal, one person to another, shares their opinions from a very biased position, because everyone's biased in their own thoughts, their own mind. That's where we are. We can't help it. We're opinionated. We can't help it. Well, I want mine to be based on the Word of God, folks. I want the news, everything I do, to be based on the Word of God and my opinion to come out of the Scriptures. This coming year, maybe by the grace of God, we'll be able to reach more people. That's our goal. That's been my goal for a long time. By His grace, I've never taken a salary out of this ministry. Never have taken a salary out of the ministry. Never. I worked all the way through to retire and still work part-time, folks. I don't take salary out of this ministry. I want to reach the people. And I want to thank every one of you that's been with us for so many years. I can name names. One pops in my right away is Gary in Arizona. I've been listening for years. And even Mick in Mexico, he's been listening for years. And with Miss Blue from France and so many that call in from different places. I'm humbled. I'm very humbled and grateful and thankful that you folks are out there. If you can help us continue financially, we'd appreciate it very, very, very much. If you have a product that you'd like to advertise on a program like this, if you're not ashamed of what I preach on and teach on, you let me know. I'll be honored to talk to you about it. I just want to make the truth of God's Word available to everybody we can. And as June just said, He wants to let people know there's eternal life. They don't even know that. They don't believe it. And we got to quit worshiping our leaders and start worshiping a true God. If we'd done that all along, we wouldn't be in this mess. So this next year coming, 2023, I do believe it's going to be a hellish year. I pray that I'm wrong. That'll be wonderful things to turn around. But I don't see it happening, my friends. I don't. Not scripturally nor factually do I see it happening. But know that by His grace, I want to be here with you through this coming year. As long as He wants me to be on the radio, I'll try to be on the radio. I've tried to quit at least twice, maybe three times. Every time I have, He's brought me back on. So I'm thinking our Father's in charge of this, and I'll go as long as the funds are available and people still want me there, and He wants me there. But I just thank you for being with us for so long, for your phone calls, your letters, for praying for us, for everything you've done for Call to Decision Ministries for almost 30 years. Thank you for letting us come into your home and be part of your lives. And I do mean that. By the grace of God, I will see you again on Monday night in 2023. Have a wonderful weekend. May God bless you all. Good night. On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.